Today is a day, one day that we're setting aside here toward the beginning of the year. We're going to, really, we want to do two things today. The very first thing I want to do is say thank you to everybody who gave to Kingdom Builders last year. And as you saw, that incredible number of what you gave last year, by far a record. You shattered every record of giving we've had in the history of this church. So I just want to say thank you. Amazing generosity. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are one of the most generous churches I've ever known. And as I travel around the world in different places, it's amazing that I'll go to places and they know us already because of our generosity. And so I just want to say thank you on behalf of all those that you've invested in. And the other reason that we're here today is we've got some new projects that we want to share with you, some new opportunities that we all can partner together in reaching both global missions, local outreach, and future leaders, okay? And so that's our goal here today. And so what I want to do is I want to answer the why question. Okay, so why are we talking about Kingdom Builders? Why are we doing this? You know, why do we care about the nations? Why do we care about our community? And of course, that leads me to some very deep why questions. I don't know if you guys ever think about, you know, why there are interstate highways in Hawaii. I'm talking about stuff that'll keep you up at night, right? Things like, why do they say a football team is the world champion when they don't play anybody outside the United States? Yeah. That's a good why question. Why does grape flavor smell the way it is when actual grapes don't taste or smell anything like that? I know it's early, but how about, why is the Lone Ranger called the Lone Ranger if he always has his friend Tonto with him? I mean, that's just not right. And of course, the deepest question for me, and I think about this all the time, is why did God create cats? I don't understand. I'm not sure what he was thinking. What's going on there? It might be right up there with roaches and things like that, but you know. So, all right. No offense to all you cat lovers, all right? I know what's going to happen in heaven. You guys do too, right? God's going to have some cats live with me, but we'll see what happens there. All right. So for those of you that are new and maybe not aware of what Kingdom Builders is all about, Kingdom Builders is Grace's one fund approach to funding global missions projects, local outreach initiatives, and future kingdom leaders. And so this morning we've given you a booklet that our media team put together. Pastor Brian McBride made it happen. Give a big God bless you. These guys have been working hard, looking really good. And so that'll give you an idea of the projects that we're going to be investing in the new year. And inside that booklet is a card. If you'd take that in your hand, if everybody would take that in your hand. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to fill this out, put your name, your address, and all of that contact information there. And then on the back, I'm going to ask everybody to make an investment in Kingdom Builders for 2020. And of course, there's a list of some mission trips opportunities that you have there. If you're interested in any of those, please check that. And by checking the box, you're not committing to going. You're just simply saying, I'd like to know more about one of these trips. And then we are going to ask everybody to make a financial commitment to Kingdom Builders in the year 2020. And so what I'd love for you to do, if you would, is if you would pray about what you can give to Kingdom Builders in the new year. Now, let me throw out a challenge to you right out of the gate. Would you consider giving the equivalent of 1 week's income to Kingdom Builders this year? So what I'm saying is over the next 10 and a half months, would you all give the equivalent of what 1 week's income is for you to Kingdom Builders this year. I think if we do that, then we will pass the $1 million mark for Kingdom Builders for the very first time. How many would like to be 2020 to be a $1 million year? Yeah. Right? All right. Praise God. So I encourage you to do that and just consider that. Now, while you're filling that out, thinking about that, I want to take a few minutes and just give you a picture of some of the projects that we're going to be partnering together with to invest in through Kingdom Builders, and you'll get a picture of what it is I'm asking you to invest in, okay? So this, it'll take a little bit longer than a normal video, but the reason is because we have a lot of opportunities to invest in. So take a look at our opportunities for 2020. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." We take Christ's commands literally that we are to make a difference in our Jerusalem, which is our city, our community, our Judea and Samaria, which is our country, and to the ends of the earth. Grace Assembly of God has a long history of generosity and investment both in our community, our country, and around the world. And the mechanism that we have created to invest in those things is Kingdom Builders. Kingdom Builders is our one-fund approach to investing in global missions, local outreach, and future kingdom leaders. I'm very excited today to share with you our Kingdom Builder projects for 2020. Through Kingdom Builders, we get to change the world right here from our own community. One of the ways we get to do that is partner with more than 240 global missions partners with the Assemblies of God all around the world. You and I get the opportunity to support people who have left houses and lands and family to serve the Lord in places like China and Iraq and Africa, Europe, South America, and all over the world. We get to partner with these heroes of the faith who are on the ground sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people from all walks of life in the cities, in communities, in schools, in colleges, all around the world. Our Christmas offering this year is partnering with Matt and Andrea Marlin in Mozambique, Africa. They are ministering in college campuses in that country, and they are seeing miracles happen every single day. We get to partner with them as they envision a church within walking distance of every person in Africa. We're partnering with Emmanuel Bible College in the Philippines to provide scholarships for students who are training for ministry and also investing in their building and their property. We're taking a team there this summer. We're taking a team to Nepal this summer, partnering with Jason and Christy Loper, who have been focusing on one particular unreached people group there in that country. We're going to help build a building that will be a worship center, education center, as they continue to reach out to the dozens of different people groups in that country. We're partnering with People Helping People and Grace's own Jeff Cardwell, along with Convoy of Hope, to provide 2 containers of food for people in need in Central America. This summer, we're sending a team to El Salvador. We're partnering with King's Castle Ministries there, who are seeing an incredible move of God in prisons. We're going to send a team to build a church right there in the prison as God continues to bring gang members and prisoners to Jesus Christ. We're sending 2 teams to Haiti this year. One is partnering with Grace's own Jeff Dahl and Son Deloitte Ministries as they continue to provide food, housing, education for orphans and people in need in that country. We're also partnering with Mountaintop Ministries to help do construction for a school that provides education for 800 students. What would it be like to fund a translation of the Bible into the language of a people group that currently don't have a Bible in their language? Well, we're partnering with our own Tony and Diana Speziale with Crew Ministries to do just that this year.
Grace Kids is partnering with BGMC to give towards 2 different projects. Our first project is with Builders International. We are helping build a chapel in Zacapa, Guatemala. Our second project is Backyard Orphans, which helps children in the United States find forever homes through foster care to adopt. Our goal is to help 100 kids find their forever home.
Grace Students is partnering with Speed the Light to provide computers for missionaries Garrett and Tara Kenyon and the El Refuge Outreach Center in Panama. This outreach center is pivotal in providing resources, counseling, and hope for exploited and abused children in the area.
Missions is more than just around the world. It's also right here in our own community. Remember, Jesus said, we'll be witnesses beginning at Jerusalem. So through Kingdom Builders, we're also investing in our local community. Take a look at some of the opportunities we have to invest right here in our community.
Our homeless ministry team serves food, provides clothing, spiritual and emotional support every first and third Saturday of the month to approximately 250 individuals. Great Harvest Food Pantry provides groceries and hygiene items to approximately 300 individuals every week. Not only that, the Indiana Diaper Source provides diapers and baby clothing to struggling families with newborns. Celebrate Recovery helps adults with hurts, life's controlling habits every Friday night while helping teens to cope with struggling in living in a home with someone in recovery. Our Spirit Teams is a partnership with Superintendent Dr. Patrick Spray to provide encouragement to middle and high school students before they start their school day by high-fiving them, fist bumping them, and giving them an encouraging gift to make their day and let them know that our church loves and supports them. The Christmas Store spreads joy to families in need by providing elementary-aged children a gift and a winter wonderland experience. Our vision this year is to be able to spread joy to 400 children, giving them an opportunity to take selfies with a live reindeer, pictures with Santa, cookie decorating, and a lot more. Thank you for supporting us.
Another Kingdom Builder project is Serve Day. This is our annual one-day all-church outreach to local schools in our community. Think of it as a one-day missions trip right here in our city, where we serve several local schools, improving their grounds and helping their teachers. We get to partner with the City of Greenwood for their annual Freedom Festival to present the Honor Our Heroes ceremony. And at this ceremony, we say thank you to those who serve our community and our country. Your giving helps us say thanks to the local heroes who serve us. God gave us a dream a long time ago that 100 ministers and missionaries would come out of this church. So when you give to Kingdom Builders, you are investing in that vision. That vision includes every high school student going on a missions trip before they graduate high school. We'd like to provide scholarships for every student going on a missions trip. Summer camp is a powerful experience for both students and kids. And we want to see as many kids as possible experience that this year. We're looking for scholarships to provide opportunity for kids and students to have a powerful experience at camps where God speaks to them personally and calls some of them to ministry and leadership. Because we believe that future leaders are also called to the marketplace, not just in the church, we also want to provide scholarship for students who are attending Christian schools and university, preparing for the career that God has called them to. And God is calling missionary associates and career missionaries out of our own church. We want to partner with Rebecca Polly, who is currently serving in Lithuania as a missionary associate. We want to partner with Sarah Nelson, who is preparing to go to the Congo. And there are many future missionaries and ministers right here in this church. We want to send them with our love and the resources they need to be successful. Please prayerfully consider how you, your family, or even your business can invest in these Kingdom Builder projects this year. I've long believed that if we'll take care of God's business, He'll take care of ours. So let's make a difference through Kingdom Builders together.
What an amazing opportunity we have to change the world from right here. I just want to let you know that that's a lot of opportunities, but that's not all the Kingdom Builder projects that we'll have the opportunity to invest in. We really don't have enough time to include them all, but I just want you to know that as you give, you are going to be making a difference. So today, let me address the why. Why do we do Kingdom Builders? Pastor, why did I come to church on Sunday and you're asking me for money? You better have a good reason. Well, I do. I have a really good reason. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Earlier, toward the end of last year, Some of the leadership of the Assemblies of God in Cuba reached out to me and some other pastors, and they've invited us to go to Cuba later this spring. And what's happening is God's doing some incredible things in Cuba. People are getting saved and going into ministry. And now the Cuban church is beginning to see missionaries come out of Cuba to go to the nations. Now, one of the problems they're experiencing is because they're in a communist government, that most people have grown up to rely on the government for everything they need. And even the Christians have grown to rely on the American church for what they need. And so he said, Wayne, I want you to come. I want you to teach them to give to missions. I said, I would like to do that. I think that's pretty important. And to recognize that, hey, God has called all of us to be part of changing the world, whether that's praying, giving, or going. Right, everybody? And so so this morning, I'm going to practice my message I'm going to share with those pastors in Cuba on you. All right, so consider yourself the guinea pig. And let's start this morning with Jesus' command in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And I'm reading the Amplified Version in my personal Bible reading this year, so you're going to see it show up a lot on Sundays. But Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of the nations that you like. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And the Amplified says, help the people to learn about me, to believe in me, and to obey my words. That's what discipleship is. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And around here, this is the way we say it, that if heaven and hell are realities, then winning people to Jesus is our priority. If we truly believe that we are created to be eternal beings and that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and we believe that those are literal places, then winning lost people to Jesus is our number one priority. Now, that's why our vision at this church is God's vision, and that is number one, for everybody to know God personally. That God wants sons and daughters to be involved in the kingdom of God. That's his heart. So here's the why of today. Number one is because God's heart is consumed for lost people. Why should I get involved in this? Why should I pray about going on a missions trip? Why should I do this? Well, because God's heart is consumed for lost people. Now, we don't like to use the word lost when it refers to people who aren't Christians anymore. We would prefer to use more sanitized terms like seekers or pre-Christians or unbelievers. But I don't think those terms do justice to the gravity of the situation. The Bible calls them lost for a reason. The Bible paints a very grave picture of lostness. Romans 3:23 says, all except good people. All except Americans who are better than most people. All people have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the problem with that is Ezekiel says, the soul who sins shall die. The Bible says that the whole world is infected with this incredible disease called sin, and sin separates us from God. And because of that, we're going to die, and we're on a one-way trip to eternal separation from God. He says that people are lost, and God is not okay with people being lost. God is not okay with people who are away from his family. In fact, Jesus, the only time in the Bible that Jesus repeats himself three times is in Luke 15. In Luke chapter 15, he tells three different stories about lostness. Do you guys remember? There's the parable of the lost sheep, there's the lost coin, and the lost son. And three different ways, three different pictures, Jesus attempts to illustrate the heart of God about man's lostness. He says that God is like this shepherd that has 100 sheep. 99 are safe, but there's one that's lost. And Jesus says, my Father will leave the 99 to go after the one. He says, my father is like a woman who lost this precious coin, and she sweeps feverishly all night long looking for this valuable thing to her. My father's like
the son of a prodigal son who rejects him and who runs and who just rejects his love. But yet, when he returns home, he embraces him and welcomes him back into the family of God. Three stories, three perspectives, three emotional and powerful pictures of how God feels about lost people. Listen, lost people don't stir the heart of God. It's not that lost people just matter to God. I believe that lost people consume the heart of God. What is God thinking about right now? He's thinking about lost people. What is God thinking about right now? He's thinking about our neighbors and our coworkers and our family members that are not part of his family yet. He's thinking about people in Africa and Asia and South America who are worshiping other gods. And he is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You say, Pastor, I don't quite get it yet. Well, let me tell you, if you don't understand the heart of God toward lost people, all you got to do is look at the cross. Just look at the cross, and you will see God's heart for lost people. And you'll understand the scripture when John said, for God so loved the world. I think the word that we miss is the word so. For God so loved the world. He loved the world so much. What did he do? He gave his only son. See, the closer we get to the heart of God, the more I believe we will feel his heart for lostness. Let me be very clear with you. I'm not trying to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm not trying to lay a heavy load on anybody. I want to infect you with the heart of God. I want to infect you with God's passion for lost people. Because if we'll draw close to him, there's something that's going to happen to us. We'll start to love what he loves. We'll start to hate what he hates. And we will begin to have that same heart for lost people that he does. I've heard it said that one of the most dangerous prayers that you can pray is to pray that God would break your heart with the things that break his. Amen. I think the Apostle Paul illustrated this in Romans chapter 9. He says, with Christ as my witness, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart is filled with bitter sorrow and unending grief for my people, my Jewish brothers and sisters. Look at what he says. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save them. Can you imagine being so broken, so having such a burden for lost people, that you would be willing to take their place? Paul says, I have such a burden for my brothers and sisters who are lost, that I would be willing to be a curse, cut off from Jesus, if that would save them. Can you imagine that we would be willing to trade places to see lost people saved? But isn't that the heart of our God? Isn't that what he did? He took our place. Pastor Matt Chandler put it this way. I think he illustrates man's lostness very powerfully. He says, it's better to never to have had children. It's better to never hold my wife. It's better never to be able to drive a car. Better to be paralyzed and never feel anything from the neck down. It's better to have an incurable disease than it is to be outside the kingdom of God. That's a powerful picture of lostness. You see, in God's heart is like that for the people in our community who are away from him. Did you know there are about 250,000 people within a 20-mile radius of this church this morning? And statistically, we know that 17% of Americans are connected to a Bible-based church. Now, if we do the math, what that means is there's approximately 200,000 people within driving distance of this church who are not connected to the body of Christ. They are not following Jesus. They are not serving the Lord. They are not part of the family of God. See, the problem is for a lot of us, we assume that this is a Christian community, and it is not. We assume that this is a churched community, and it is not. There are way more unchurched, de-churched, and people who are far from God than there are people in church in this community this morning. Matter of fact, if you do the math, if you add up the seating capacity of every church in our community this morning, and just assume that every single time that they have service opportunities, that they are full, you would still come to that same number of about 200,000 people who are not part of the kingdom of God. 200,000 people whose families are breaking, who are fighting addictions and opioids. Some of them are drowning their pain in alcohol. Just last week, for the first time, one of our local public school corporations reached out to pastors in our community. And they asked us, and they were just sharing some of the needs that they had. And for the first time, they said, "Can you help us?" And I just, first of all, praise God that the schools are now recognizing, hey, the church can help. Yeah. Praise God. That's breakthrough, by the way. That's an amazing breakthrough, by the way. But it also shows just how desperate people are. They're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. And how many know we have hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Somebody give God praise if you believe that we have hope through Jesus. God's heart is for this community, for people who are lost, and God's heart is for the people in the world who are lost. You know, as I've traveled around the world, one of the things that I've seen, by the way, is the worship that we had this morning is normal. In the Middle East, in Africa, in China, you get believers together worshiping Jesus, it looks a lot like that, and it is filled with joy. I'm talking people who are persecuted for their faith, people who are paying the highest price to follow Jesus, there is this joy. But there's just something else that I've seen and I've learned is that there are many people in the world who will grow up and never one time meet another Christian. I remember hearing that for the first time a few years ago, and it was just hard to grasp. But according to the Joshua Project, 81% of all Hindus, Muslims, and Buddhists do not know a Christian. Did you hear that? 81% do not know a Christian personally. That is not okay. That's why we go. That's why we send. Am I in the right church today? That's why it's not just this community, but it's all around the world. That's why our Kingdom Builders focus is global missions and local outreach and future leaders, because missions is not just the other side of the world, it's right here. It's all about lost people coming to Jesus. It's the same mission. Why are we doing this? Well, because God's heart is consumed for lost people, and reaching lost people is really the only thing that matters. You know, at the end of our time here on earth, the only thing that's going to matter, well, let me put it to you this way. I've shared this story before, but I want to share it again. I was 17. I had a scholarship to a school in New York. I had a plan. I was going to get a degree. I was going to make some money. But there was something unsettled in my spirit. And so one particular night, I was just praying about the future, and I felt like I heard the Lord ask me a question. He said, "Wayne, 100 years from now, all that money you think you're going to make," he goes, "what will it matter?" And I said, "Well, Lord, 100 years from now, I guess the money I make won't matter because I'll be dead." He goes, "Wayne, 100 years from now, what's the only thing that's going to matter in your life?" I said, "Well, God, 100 years from now, I guess the only thing that really matters is who's in heaven and who's not." He said, "Give your life to that." And so I said, "Yes, I'm going to give my life to making sure there are as many people in heaven as possible." I know I stretch you, and I know I strongly encourage you. Some might even say provoke you. And I know this is a heavy message here this morning, but I want you to hear my heart, because I want lost people in heaven. That's why we'll do whatever it takes to win lost people. We'll bring animals. We'll blow stuff up. We'll go crazy. We'll spend money. Why? Because however we can win lost people to Jesus, we're going to do it.
And we're going to give whatever we can. We're going to do whatever we can. We're going to say whatever we can. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to believe. Because at the end, it's the only thing that matters. You know, at the end of our lives, you know, they're going to be taking all of our stuff to the dump. All those things we've invested in, all those things that we spend our time in, all those things. And listen, I'm not saying everything we do doesn't matter, but what I'm saying is really at the end of the time, the only thing that matters is your family in heaven? Are your neighbors in heaven? Are your coworkers in heaven? Are people in heaven? Come on, somebody say amen. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 14, that he says this. He says, you are merely a vapor. That doesn't last long, does it? Watch this. In the whole scheme of eternity, this is your life. You're here and you're gone. He goes, you're here just for a little while and then you vanish time into thin air. This life is short, but eternity is long. So let me ask you the same question that God asked me when I was 17. 100 years from now, what will truly matter in your life? Last reason why. Why are we doing this? Why am I asking you to pray? Why am I asking you to give? Why am I asking you to get involved in winning lost people to Jesus? We are their only hope. Romans 10, verse 14, how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless somebody tells them? God's plan to rescue lost people is you. God's plan to win the world is me. The plan is for you and me, motivated by gratitude out of our own salvation. Amen. Let me stop right there. God's plan is not to guilt you or to condemn you or to even provoke you. God's plan is out of gratitude for your own salvation. You were lost. You were far from God. And while you were a sinner, he died for you so that you could be his son and his daughter. And out of gratitude for that, we share the same gospel of life. We invest in lost people because I'm grateful that once I was lost, but now I'm found. I'm grateful that I was far from God, and now I've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. I was an orphan, I was a slave, but now I'm a son of the living God, and I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and there is a home prepared for me in heaven. Amen. And because of that, I owe the gospel to the rest of the world. I owe the gospel to my neighbor, to my coworker, to my family members because of what he's done for me. Not because, oh, I have to share my faith. Oh, I have to give to kingdom builders. No, no, no. I get to share with others what God has done for me, what God has done in my life. So we intentionally befriend lost people in our sphere of influence, and we connect with them, and we intercede for them, and we invest in their lives, and we invite them to Christ. We invite them to church where they're going to hear the gospel of Christ, and we do whatever it takes to win lost people, and we get to partner with missionaries of all over the world who will go places that you and I will never be able to go, and they'll pay a higher price than we'll ever be willing or able to pay, but yet we'll be able to do the easiest thing possible. We're going to make sure they have the resources that they have to do the ministry God's called them to do, and we're going to pray for them. We answer the call. Some of you are going to answer the call of God, maybe even today, that you are going to give your life to this, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in this community or even around the world. Let me ask you this, and we're almost done. Why do you live where you live? Well, because that's the house I bought. That's the apartment I rent. That's where my mom and dad lived. No. That's not why you live there. You live there because there are some people around you who are lost. And you're their hope.
Why do you work where you work? Well, because this is my trade. I went to college to learn this trade or this skill or whatever, you know. No. That's not why you work there. That may be what you do. But you know why you work there? Because there are people around you that are far from God. And you are the light. You are their salt. You are their hope. Why do you go to school? Where do you go to school? Well, it's because that's the school district I live in, or this is the college that I chose. That may be the what that you're doing, but the why that you're there is because you're in one of the greatest mission fields of all time. And let me tell you something, students, you will never have another opportunity like the one you have now, where you have all of these people who are more likely to give their lives to Jesus Christ than at any other point in their life, and they're all in the same building with you. Wow. That's why you go to school there. It's because you're their hope. Why do I live in Greenwood? Why do I live in Indianapolis? Why do I live in Franklin? Why do I live in Martinsville? Why do I live in Whiteland? Why do I go to this church anyway? Some of you might be asking. Because God has entrusted to you and me the greatest message of all time. God has given to you and me an opportunity that no other generation has had before. No other generation has this technology. No other generation has this capability. No other generation has this opportunity that you and I have right now to win millions of lost people to Jesus. Whatever we're doing now to reach people for Jesus Christ, and some of you are doing a lot. I could just have a ton of you just come and share what God's doing in your life and how you're sharing your faith and how you're doing the work of God both in this community and around the world. But I think we can all agree that we could do more. That we could do more. And so today, I'm challenging you to do more. I'm challenging myself. I'm challenging all of us. Let's do more, not so that we can beat a record, not so that we can reach a number, not so that we can say, oh, look at us, we're on a list. We're on all kinds of lists, by the way, but that's not the goal. The goal is when we stand before the Lord and it's all over and we look around and there are people there because of you and there are people in heaven because of this church. There are people from the Himalaya mountains of China that are there because you gave. There are neighbors and coworkers and classmates that are there because you prayed for them. You invited them. You invested in them. We can all do more. I want to close with a clip from a movie that is very powerful. It's Schindler's List. I want to let you know that it's edited for appropriateness for this audience, okay? Nothing bad at all. It's a very intense graphic movie. But it's the story, if you don't remember, it's the story of Oskar Schindler, a German who is credited with saving the lives of 1,200 Jews during the Holocaust by employing them in his factories in Poland. Employing the Jews in the factories protected them from deportation and death in the Nazi concentration camps. He originally started his companies motivated by profit, but then came to realize that his companies could serve a much greater purpose, saving people's lives. So by May 1945, he had spent his entire fortune saving the lives of Jewish people. I want you to take a look at the end of the movie as he has to leave the country. And just watch this.
Hebrew from the Talmud, it says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire. got more up. I could have got more. I don't know if I just... I could have got more.
Asuka, there are 1,100 people who are alive because of you. Look at them.
If I made more money... I threw away so much money. You have no idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Good, what about this car? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. You would have given me 2 for at least 1. You would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Understand. For this, I could have got 1 more person, and I didn't. And I didn't.
Would you bow your heads? Lord Jesus, would you break our hearts for what breaks yours? Our prayer today is that your love for lost people would infect us. Lord, we pray that the same love that Jesus had to volunteer to go to the cross to save us, would you put that in us? For God so loved the world. We ask for that kind of love today, God. Would you open our eyes? Would you let us see people the way you see them? Not based on how they look, not based on where they're from, based on whether or not they know you, based on whether or not they're ready for heaven. Jesus, we ask you to give us the same love that the Apostle Paul said, that he would be willing to take their place just if they would know Jesus. Help us, we pray. Help us, we pray, to have your heart motivated by your love, motivated by the amazing grace that you have given to us. May that be so, God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're in this room or you're watching online, you're far from God, you're not following him, Jesus is not the Lord of your life, today is your opportunity to grab hold of the hand of salvation, because you are lost. You are far from God, and it's not okay. It's not okay with you. It's not okay with God. He loves you. He invites you to surrender, to be part of his family. There is no more he can do than what he's already done. He loves you. If you have yet to receive Christ as your Savior, do it today. This morning, I want to lead you in the very first step of confession, of faith in Jesus Christ, and surrendering your heart to him. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer. And I want to ask people to join along with you as we pray this way. Heavenly Father, thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving me. You proved it. Now I want to love you. I surrender to you. You're my only hope. I believe in the cross and resurrection of Jesus to save my eternal soul. And from this day forward, my heart is yours. My life is yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Those of you that are taking that step today, let me encourage you that that's your first step. And our service is over here in just a moment. If you would go to the red information tent, we'd like to put a Bible in your hand. We'd like to help you with some resources so that you will know what it's like to be part of the family of God, the kingdom of God. And just to illustrate to you why this is such a big deal, and to illustrate to you that you are not alone when you follow Jesus, I want you to hear the applause of the people around you who are already members of the household of faith welcome you home into the family of God. Come on, let them hear it. Amen. 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 The Bible says there's more joy. Come on, church. More joy over one. I want you to take this card in your hand, everybody, and if you haven't filled it out yet, make sure your name, your address, your city, your cell phone, your email address, your age is on there. On the back there, I'd like you to mark if you're interested in learning more about one of these missions trips, but I'd also like to ask you to make a financial commitment to Kingdom Builders for 2020. And again, my challenge to everyone, it's not a demand by any stretch, but this is Coach Wayne, all right, helping you take a little bit of an extra step. What if you gave the equivalent of 1 week's income over the next year? I'm not asking you to give it today, unless you want to. If you want to give it today, praise God. But if that's you, there's a little space at the bottom. You may just want to say 1 week's income, or just write that in or stuff like that. Is that okay, everybody? And so we are going to receive these, so our ushers are going to come. And if you'd like to give an initial offering to our Kingdom Builder projects, this is a great time for you to be able to do that. When you are giving to Kingdom Builders electronically, remember that's always an option on the drop-down menu there when you give through the website, or you can even set it up as online reoccurring giving. So let me say thank you again for changing the world, for making a difference from right here. Amen, everybody. Is it all right I talked to you like this morning? Most of you said yes. Amen. Are you ready to give? Let's hold it in our hands. Jesus, we choose to participate in your kingdom. Today, we're choosing to invest in future leaders, local outreach, global missions. That's your heart. So, Lord, as we give today, would you help our hearts to grow even closer to you, even more attached to your priorities. Lord, as we give, let our hearts follow. We pray. As a result, when we stand before you in heaven, God, we want to see people. We're looking forward, God. We get to see people that we had a part in winning to Jesus. Would you say thank you? Come on, would you just say thank you, God? Thank you for giving me the privilege. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to partner with you
Thank you, God, for the privilege of giving today. Amen, everybody. Thank you for the gift. Oscar Schindler is not in the movie because it's based on a true story. After World War II, Oscar Schindler was broke. He had spent all of his money saving Jewish people. And so for most of the rest of his life, he relied after the war on the generosity of the Jewish families that he saved. And when he died, they buried him in Jerusalem. He is the only person from the Nazi party that had such an honor. When you give your life, when you give your means, when you give, you will be remembered, both now and in eternity. Amen. So may the Lord bless you abundantly. May all the blessings of Philippians 4:19 follow you. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. May God abundantly bless you. May his peace be upon you. May God lift up his countenance upon you. May the favor of God follow you, your family, your children, your children's children. As you connect with his heart, may his heart overtake you, overtake all those that you love. May you receive household salvation, all your sons and daughters, all your brothers and sisters, all your family members come into faith in Jesus Christ. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Go with God. We love you very much. Have a great day.